Thank you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that we can celebrate the fact that we are children of God. That as we gather together this morning, that we can be reminded in this brief period of time that you indeed are in control, that you indeed are the God of all creation, of heaven and earth, that you have redeemed us, that you have called us, and that you continue to encourage us to be the church. So, Lord, as we gather together this morning, we pray that you would bless us, that you would remind us of the great truths that we hold dear as believers in Jesus Christ this morning. And we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, welcome this morning. And, you know, before I get into content this morning, I just want to say happy Easter to our Orthodox friends, to the Greek Orthodox community that I'm very familiar with. It's Easter Sunday for them today. So, Kalo Pascha and Christos Anesti to all of my Greek friends out there, and who are celebrating Easter. So, Christ is risen. And indeed. And today we're starting a brand new series called Authentic. And I want to begin this morning by asking a very simple question. How would you end this sentence? You know, I want you to think about yourself, and how would you end this sentence? And the sentence is this: I wish I was more. How would you end that? I wish I was more. Now, how many of you said patient? You know, I wish I was more patient, or I wish I was more loving. I wish I was more, dedicated or focused, or a number of things. You know, for all of us out there, if we're honest with ourselves, there's all kinds of self-improvement that we would love to see in ourselves, right? You know, the bookshelves are full of self-help books, how to improve yourself, how to, you know, become a better person. And, and I would argue that there are people in your life that if you were brutally honest, you would say, I would love, you know, the reason why they're so good friends of mine is because I appreciate them. But if I could, I would love to be more like them in this particular way. You know, we all want to see ourselves improve. You know, it's not always easy, but we'd love to see ourselves improve. We want to be people that others appreciate, that others see good qualities in. So this whole idea of character development and, you know, personality and what we're born with and how we grow as human beings is a really important thing. Now, if you're a Christian here this morning, I want to maybe make an admittance today about something that I think we don't talk very often about. You hear, you know, from this platform, from many platforms, when it comes to being a Christian, that if you're a believer, you know, your life's work is to become more like Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but Jesus is a really high bar to live up to, isn't he, right? When it comes to, you know, perfect love, perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect all of this stuff. And we hear all the time about character development. And it's really hard to be a Christian to be like Jesus, because we fail so many times in so many different areas of our lives. And it's a constant thing that we are, you know, held up to, is the person of Jesus Christ. And people outside the church, you know, I often wonder, do people outside the church really understand what it means to be a believer? That part of our lives, or a major part of our lives, is growing to be like Jesus. You know, I often wonder if people outside the church are looking at us to be more engaged in you know, spiritual rituals. Are they looking for those moments where we're praying three times, you know, a day and you know, together, and those are the things that they think religion is all about. But the fact of the matter is, the real heart of our faith, when we, you know, make an admittance of repentance, and when we come to personal faith in Jesus Christ, from that moment on, it's a constant, work in our lives to become more like Jesus. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the next 3 weeks, this whole idea of being authentic in our faith as we walk before the world around us. And you heard Ali and Bruna talk about we being the church right here, right now. You know, there's a number of you that say, I wish I had more hope. I wish, you know, in the midst of everything that is going on, I wish I was able to not live with this kind of fear and anxiety thing that's happening in the background. I wish I could trust to the full capacity. I wish, you know, the Spirit of God would just empower me to be more faithful in the things that I should be more faithful to. You know, there's all kinds of things that we do in our Christian walk, you know, day in and day out. And I think the more that our character develops, the more that we become like Jesus, as difficult as it is, the more that, you know, the circumstances that we find ourselves in don't trouble us the way it troubles most people, that there's a sense in which that we can trust God in a brand new way when we have those characteristics. Imagine Jesus, you know, the more you grow like Jesus, look at the way Jesus trusted our Heavenly Father. Look at the way that he lived his life. Look at the way he was fully committed to the things of God. And the difference it made in everybody, you know, for two millennia, the difference it's made in people's lives. So, you know, to be like Jesus is another way that we kind of build into our lives an ability to resist the things around us that cause other people to fall and to stumble. So we're talking about being authentic today. Now, got a passage up here. Jesus said very early on in his ministry, and John the Baptist too, about the whole idea of bearing good fruit. Okay, the passage says from Matthew, a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. In other words, Jesus knew that, you know, behavioral development had to do with something far deeper, what was something inside of us that, you know, became a reality in the way that we lived our lives. And this is vitally important for believers to understand this because, you know, people ask me all the time as a pastor, you know, and how do you know people are growing in their faith? How do you know that people are actually, you know, becoming more than what God intends them to be? How do you know? And, you know, the easy way to answer that question is to talk about Bible studies, their attendance, you know, the way they give and things like that. But the reality is the passage that we're looking at for the next 3 weeks is really the heart of what we should be looking at. These are the characteristics that Jesus talks about. This is the characteristics that get listed in Galatians. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, that get listed as these are the markers of what a dedicated believer, being led by the Spirit of God, allowing the Spirit of God to lead their lives, this is what their lives should look like. This is what it means to be Christ-like in this passage. So, let's read that Galatians passage now. And it says, Paul writes, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So let me just make a point really quick as we look at this, and we'll unpack it a little bit. The fruit of the Spirit is the harvest of the investments we make in spiritual growth and Spirit-led living. You know, all of those disciplines that we do, maybe, you know, read our Bibles and to pray, is to feed into the Spirit of God using those things in order to build into our lives things like love, joy, peace. That's the outworking of the spiritual disciplines. And I know we grow in our knowledge of God. We grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. We grow in our knowledge of the Spirit of God. And those exercises that we use to grow should feed into us in such a way that these characteristics become more a part of our lives. Now, you know, the Greek word translated fruit here is the natural product of a living thing. It's very much the word that we use for everyday ordinary fruit. And Paul helps us to understand that this fruit is a byproduct of the Spirit of God working in our lives, that when we allow the Spirit of God to control us, to use us, to, you know, build into our lives, these are the outworking fruit of, you know, the Spirit of God. And the word, by the way, is singular in the Greek. It's not fruits of the Spirit. It's fruit of the Spirit. That this is a composite. All of these things lend themselves as a whole to what it means to be Christ-like. Okay, so it's intentionally a singular. And in fact, I'll tell you something else. When you look at an English translation of the Bible, you see all nine characteristics with a comma after, you know, love, comma, joy, comma, peace. That's not the way it's built in the Greek. In fact, in the Greek, it's built the first three, then a comma, the next three, then a comma, then the last three, and the comma. That's the way it is in the Greek. These are the fruit of the Spirit. So it's meant and written in the Greek to demonstrate that this is a whole picture of what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. That's what that is talking about. Okay, so these are the characteristics. And the other thing, too, is the implication is fruit doesn't grow overnight. It takes tending. It takes work. It takes cultivating. And that these characteristics are characteristics that grow over time. Just because you become a believer, yesterday you became a believer, doesn't mean you're going to automatically become more loving, automatically have, you know, you might have more joy and peace in your life, okay? But even those, at the moment that you feel a better sense of those two characteristics, they're going to continue to grow over time. So the Spirit of God works in our, you know, in our lives to help us reject the sinful things that happen in our lives, the sinful characteristics in our lives, to kind of, you know, filter those things out of our lives and build into us this fruit of the Spirit as a composite whole of who we are. So the Spirit of God, to make us more like Jesus, is constantly at work within us to do this. Now, we are just looking at the big three, what we call the first three that came in the groupings of the nine, and we call this the big three, the love, joy, and peace. And here's why they're the big three, because these big three are the most difficult to attain and to maintain, you know, if you're trying to do it by personal pursuit alone. Like if you're trying to become more loving, more joyful, to have more peace in your life, if you're trying to do that, those three components are on your own, I would argue that those are the three most difficult to maintain and attain on a regular basis and keep consistent in your life. You need divine intervention. You need the empowerment of the Spirit of God to fully experience those big three in your life, because they can be so transient. They can be so, you know, fleeting. You know, one moment they're here, the next moment they're gone. Many people in our culture and our society today, you know, may be experiencing more love, but not necessarily more joy and peace under the circumstances of what we're experiencing. In fact, for many people, peace is not, you know, an easy kind of characteristic to adopt right now. In fact, anything but peaceful. You know, anxiety and those things have a way of destroying our peace, our inner confidence, and all of those kinds of things. Okay? So these are very, very important characteristics. And, you know, we talk about these combined characteristics and becoming more like Jesus. And these This outworking of the fruit of the Spirit isn't so people will look at us and say, look how wonderful they are. The intention of the fruit of the Spirit is for people to go, look how wonderful Jesus is. Look how amazing their lives have been transformed because of their belief and faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the intent of this entire section in the book of Galatians is all about. So I'm going to, you know, I am going to unpack each of these words because a lot of times defining these words is really, really important. The first word that comes out of this is love. And it's the Greek word agape in this particular passage. And 1 John 3:16 says this, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we know what real love is. There's all kinds of definitions of love. There's all kinds of, you know, parameters that we put on love and expectations and feelings and opinions about love. But John here says, we know because of Jesus, we know what real love looks like. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, you know what I think is really neat about this particular is if you go to John 3:16, the Apostle John wrote both these passages. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, right? That the beautiful passage. Here we are in 1 John 3:16, talking about we know what real love is. There's John before the crucifixion, before the resurrection, talking about how God so loved the world by giving us his Son. And here, John is confirming that we know what real love looks like. Okay? Because Jesus gave up his life for us. That's the word agape. You know, Jesus used agape, this love, for the great commandment. Okay? Like, love the Lord your God, you know, with all your heart, mind, and soul, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the kind of like summation that Jesus gave of the entire Old Testament. Paul said it's the greatest gift, the greatest virtue that you can have. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love is, you know, here are all these characteristics that, you know, of a person who is absolutely loving. And, you know, Paul brought that to bear, and I argue, by the way, I argue that love is the ethic, the primary ethic of the kingdom of God. That, you know, many would lean towards holiness, and that, and holiness is absolutely a byproduct of our faith in God. But the way it is expressed to the world around us, to the community around us, is by loving. And that's the way our holiness and our separation to God is the way that we love others and the way that we love God. Okay, so that's the primary, you know, ethic of the kingdom. Now I'm going to introduce you to somebody. Okay, I'm going to bring somebody. So just hang on a minute. If I go out of your screen, just be 1 second. Okay. All right. I want to introduce you to Christian. Okay. I don't know if any of you remember Christian. I've brought him in the past. He's kind of like my friend during isolation. And, you know, he kind of sits in my office, and every so often I kind of ask Christian if he wants to show up and help me when it comes to, some of the things that we're talking about when we're up here. Now, Christian is, as you can imagine, a believer, you know, and let's just say you've just met him, okay, and he's come up to you, and he's kind of bragging about being a Christian, okay, so... You know, and if you know anything about Christianity, you're going to make a whole bunch of assumptions about him being a believer, all about Christians. You got all kinds of expectations about how he should be, you know? So if you ask him, you know, so what does it mean to be loving if you're a believer in Jesus Christ? And hopefully Christian is going to be able to answer you by saying a number of these things. And hopefully you can see these things. All right, he's gonna be able to express these kinds of things as a believer. And hopefully you can express these kinds of things too. For one, love, when it comes to being a Christian, is really a choice. It's not just a feeling. We make a choice each and every day to love like Jesus loved. That's a mandate of who we are, you know. And you would go, kudos, Christian, you were able to talk about those kinds of things, that it's a choice, that it's seeking the welfare of others. There's just something that pushes away from our selfishness and sees for the betterment of others. That's what it means to be loving in the kingdom of God, that we set aside our own wants and our own preferences. Like, is this for my good? Is this for my benefit? Or should this be for the benefit of the people I care about, right? Who is this for? You know, I have preferences, but if it's going to hurt other people, then I can set those preferences aside because I am a loving person. That is what I want to do. And, you know, there's an Old Testament kind of phraseology when it comes to grace that I love. It's talking about being large of heart, that you have a large heart. Remember the Grinch and his heart got large? Well, you know, for a Christian, you know, every time I see that part of the cartoon, I always think that's what happens to a Christian to become a believer. They suddenly become large of heart. That grace is part of our experience. That, you know, not only have we received grace, not only have we experienced that grace, but that grace becomes something that we allow others to experience through us. And it's a very important component. Okay? So, this thing about love is such a primary and important characteristic of this fruit of the Spirit. And it's not surprising to me that Paul actually put this right at the very front of it. Okay? Because without it, here's what love produces. And you know, love produces life, doesn't it? You know that when you have love in your life and you know that people care for you and you know you're part of a community and you're sensing the love of God in your life, that it produces that love produces life. That, you know, suddenly everything's alive, everything's real, everything's, you know, beautiful. It's all, you know, you see life through such a different lens when you know you are loved and you are cared for. And you not only experience that in a vertical way, but you experience it in a horizontal way, that you know the love of God, you're experiencing the love of God, and, you know, whether it's family, whether it's your church community, that love is something that makes you feel alive again. And it's such an important piece. That's why these characteristics produce things. They're not just, you know, I've said many times, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ means that you grow in the likeness of Jesus, but not for just your sake alone, but for the sake of other people, because it's such an important witness to the world of the transformational power that the Spirit of God is having in your life on a daily basis. So that's what's so important about love, is love produces life. You know, that's why Jesus, God, so loved the world that the way he demonstrated that love was by sending his son to be the sacrifice for us. So when we, you know, when we demonstrate these characteristics and when people see these characteristics, they know that we are led by something far different than our own selfish ambition, our own selfish desires, and we truly are demonstrating the love that the fruit of the Spirit is talking about. Now, the second word that comes out of this is joy, and the Greek word for joy is chara, okay? And in the book of Hebrews, joy is, you know, talked about in this particular way. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. And the doing this is, you know, we run the race, right? Which in Hebrews is talking about each and every day. We're running this race. And we have a whole cloud of witnesses that are watching our life experience. and we are growing in our faith on a continual, this is the race that we're running to get to the finish line, to become everything that God meant us to be. And Hebrews says we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Isn't that wonderful that our faith was initiated by our faith in Jesus Christ, and now he's perfecting our faith, just like Philippians 1:6 says, you know, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the time of Christ Jesus. And Hebrews goes on to say, because of the joy awaiting him. Look at, you know, that's amazing to me. Because of the joy awaiting him, Jesus endured the cross, disregarding its shame. To the public that was there, it was a spectacle of shame. He was, you know, crucified as a criminal, all of those things. But Jesus, knowing that the joy that was awaiting him, you know, disregarded that shame, placed himself on that cross and endured it, knowing the joy that was going to come afterwards. And now it says he is seated in the place of honor right beside, at the right hand of God's throne. That is joy. That is chara in the Greek. It means, you know, and joy in Greek means exactly what it means in English, you know, that delight, that gladness. It's far more than happiness, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, when I ask Christian, like, what is joy? How should it manifest itself, you know, in our daily lives? And this is kind of like what he said to me. He says, this is, you know, my identity is rooted in the communion of the Spirit of God in my life. That my identity isn't what I do, my job, my identity first and foremost. I have this joy because I know I'm a child of God. Matthew led us in that song earlier on. I'm a child of God, right? I've been set free. Like all those beautiful admonitions that worship song, you know, brought to the forefront for us. That we live with a joy because we know that we are part of the assurance of our place in the kingdom and our future home. Because we are a child of God, we are part of a kingdom. We are part of a greater kingdom that's not, you know, that's not determined by the temporal things of this world, but is a future hope and a future kingdom that we are a part of. And there's something about knowing that gives us joy in the midst of the difficulties that we're experiencing. Confident in God's love, you know. One of the things that I continue to run up against is a number of people who are doubtful of God's love for them. Listen, if you ever doubt God's love, go back to the cross. Go back to the cross. Go back to the cross. If you doubt God's love for you. And you know, joy in the kingdom of God is not fragile. Okay? Yeah, we might get some dings and dents every so often. But it's not dashed easily by the circumstances of the world that we're involved in. It's not dashed easily. In the midst of this, we can have a heartfelt joy because we know of the sovereignty of God. We know that we're part of a different kingdom. We're confident in the future promises of God. All of those things, that this too shall pass. If God brought us to us, God is going to take us through it. Okay, if God brought it to us, okay? So this is where joy kind of resides when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. And when we experience a person like this that has this kind of confidence and rooted in this beautiful thing, it produces something. And what I would say, joy produces energy. Joy produces energy in our lives. So you know very well that if something becomes just a task or drudgery, and the joy is gone from it, it's hard to get motivated. It's hard to experience it. It's hard to say, boy, I should do this more often. It's hard to, you know, get involved and all that stuff. You know, there's something about joy that gives us the energy to continue, that a new day comes, the new day is dawning, and we just feel excited and joyful about what God has in store for us through the Spirit of God. working in our lives. Our lives, you know, our spiritual lives suffer when celebration is not there at all. So one of the reasons why, as a church, we love to celebrate the wins. We love to celebrate together because it reminds us that we can be joyful at times when others are anxiety-ridden and conflict-ridden and dealing with toxicity and all kinds of other things in relationships. But we can be joyful in the midst of all of that. Here's the third of the big three, and that's peace. Eirene in Greek, this beautiful thing of peace. And I love what the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Colossians, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, right? Remember in, I think it's the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, the peace I give you is not the peace that the world gives you. That this is a peace that only I can give. And I think that's a powerful statement, that there's something about the Eirene that happens when we come to faith in Jesus. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And then Paul adds this part, and always be thankful. You know, there's just something about recognizing the love and the joy that we experience when the Spirit of God is working in our lives and the peace that it creates in our lives that passes understanding. See, peace is one of those components in our lives where we have an inner confidence in the one that we have placed our trust in. And that confidence is so deep and so rooted in truth and acknowledgement of what is to come for the future that we can have peace in the midst of incredible difficulty. And we can have this kind of calmness that passes all understanding, as it says in the book of Philippians, that we can have this inner confidence that, yeah, everything's turmoil and difficult right now, okay? But something else is going on. So, you know, asking Christian once again, like, how does this work in your life? How do you identify? How do you see this as a part of your life in and out every single day? And ask Christian, you know, he sees people as broken and in need of grace. He's a person that builds up people because, you know, his expectation first and foremost is he recognizes people are broken, okay? He wants to bring peace to those people's lives because everybody's trying to do their best. And they're just broken in a messy world and the difficulties. That's in a, you know, remember last topic about joy? We talked about the incredible grace that's part, no, or love, I should say. And we talked about grace. That becomes a real component when it comes to peace. And when we look at people, when we have that kind of love, we look at people in a way that's incredibly graceful. And that grace that we offer up to other people, you know, helps bring us peace of mind in ourselves. Team-minded. They're not, you know, we're not a singular focus, right? We see other people, and we see about building up other people. That's part of being a team. Team isn't like, you know, do as I say and all that kind of stuff. It's let's do this together. That's something that's part of the peacemaking reconciliation ministry that we have as believers. Okay, works towards reconciliation and healing. We want to be part of people getting better. We want to be part of people being healed. We want to be part of people being reconciled to one another and not feeling the emptiness and the loneliness that can so easily overtake us in the world that we live in. Okay, and sees a greater purpose in suffering. If you don't understand the lessons that suffering will bring from time to time, it's hard not to have peace because you will see every suffering as a judgment, or you'll see every suffering as you know, a matter of discipline for you. That is not always the case. You know, I'm going to venture into a really difficult area, like theologically, is that often we want to know, why did God send this? You know, it's back to the old proverbial why question. We will never know the why question. I'm convinced that we will never know if this is a judgment from God, if this is something that God is sending, you know, and it's a purely human thing. And when we ask those questions, when we get so caught up in the why, we sort of miss any of the real lessons that get learned in the midst of it. The reality is, this is the reality we're living with. And we'll never have peace if why is the only thing swirling in our minds. What we can have peace to know is that God is reconciling people to himself. And maybe this is an opportunity where we can get to speak and be the church into people's lives and give them peace that we presently have because we have confidence in who it is that is, you know, working in the world in the midst of very difficult times. It's such an important thing. And peace, here's what peace produces. Peace produces wholeness. That's what peace produces, a sense of wholeness in our lives, that it's going to be okay, that we have this sense of being healed. We have this sense of reconciliation. We've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. And that reconciliation brings peace into our lives in a way that nothing else can. Those are the big three. And the big three are produced in our lives by the Spirit of God. Yeah, we try very hard to work towards those in our human endeavors. But it's not until we really allow the Spirit of God to lead us, when we can really say, God, I trust you, even in moments like this, that we start to see these big three characteristics becoming more like Jesus in our lives, that we start to love like Jesus, we start to have joy like Jesus, and we start to have peace like Jesus, that are all demonstrated on the cross, even though visually for the first, you know, day of that crucifixion, we thought it was the most horrible thing that could have possibly happened. I don't know where you are in your life, but I want to ask you again, how would you end this sentence? I wish I had more. I'm hoping you end that sentence. I wish I had more of the Spirit of God in my life. Because only the Spirit of God can give you the transformation of the fruit of the Spirit in a way that we've always wanted in our lives because we can't do it ourselves. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for our time this morning. And thank you for this wonderful passage that has challenged believers for centuries. Lord, I pray that as a church, we would continue to seek after the things of God. And it's so exciting to be part of a church that understands that it's not just about the disciplines, it's about the Spirit of God working in our lives to foster in us the characteristics of Christ-likeness so that we can be better demonstrators of that love to the rest of the world. So, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for those that have tuned in. Thank you for the community of faith that we have here at Village Green. And I pray, Lord, that someone today would have been blessed because they've come to a better and new understanding of what it means to have the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.